I'm just a lonesome traveler, the great historical bum. Highly educated, from history I have come. I built the Rock of Ages, 'twas in the year of one. That's about the biggest thing that man had ever done. I worked in the Garden of Eden, it was a year of two. Joined the Apple Pickers Union, I always paid my due. And the man that signed the contract to raise the rising sun. That was about the biggest thing that man had ever done. I was straw boss on the pyramids and the Tower of Babel too. Opened up the ocean, let the migrant children through. I fought a million battles and I never lost a one. That was about the biggest thing that man had ever done. I beat the daring Roman, I beat the daring Turk. Defeated Nero's army with 30 minutes work. I fought the greatest leaders and licked them every one. That is about the biggest thing that man had ever done. I was in the revolution when we set the country free. It was me and a couple of Indians that dumped the Boston Tea. We won the battle at Valley Forge and battle at Bully Run. That is about the biggest thing that man had ever done. There's a man across the ocean, and I guess you know him well. His name is Adolf Hitler, and damn his soul to hell. We'll kick him in the panzers and put him on the run. That'll be the biggest thing that man has ever done. There's mines, mills, and factories that run for Uncle Sam. Producing for the soldier boys that fight for this great land. Our job, it is a tough one, it'll take us every one. But this'll be the biggest thing that man has ever done. There's warehouse guys and teamsters and guys that skin the cats. Guys that run the steel mills, the furnace and the blast. We'll stop the Axis rattlesnakes and thieves of Old Nippon. That'll be the biggest thing that man has ever done. Well, I better quit my talking, 'cause I told you all I know. Please remember, partner, wherever you may go, the world is digging Hitler's grave, and when the job is done, that'll be the biggest thing that man has ever done. Yes, that'll be the biggest thing that man's ever done.
And that was Woody Guthrie, Biggest Thing the Man Has Ever Done. And it doesn't have a lot of information about it online. It's from the album This Is Your Land, 50 Favorites. I guess that was one of his songs after the Nazis attacked the Soviet Union. Before that, he had lots of anti-war songs. Then it was suddenly very pro-war, following the foreign policy line of the Soviet Union. Woo-woo. But still a song worth playing, I thought, and so I did. So there was a second, much more vigorous and well-attended protest on campus on Tuesday the 11th, and here's some audio from that day. So it's about 12:15. We're walking up to Cardiff Street to High Street. There's a Santa Cruz Police Department blockade. How you doing?
Doing good. How are you?
Well, hanging in there. And it's a sunny day. We have a couple of police barricades being set up. One along High Street directing traffic down Cardiff. Another along Bay Street, which we attempted to drive up but had to move off of. And there's a protest at the corner of High and Bay. It's a strike at the very edge of campus for the COLA for all demand of the graduate students, and now being supported by other groups. I'm talking, a panting interview with
Jeb Parucker.
Jeb, how long have you been up at the strike today?
Today I just got up here. I was here all day yesterday.
And differences between yesterday and today?
Twice as many police officers, and they're wearing their party clothes.
Meaning?
Riot gear.
And were you here when the police moved in yesterday?
Yes.
Describe what happened.
There was a student who had been arrested. I believe there was a student. They got put into a police SUV, and the crowd moved in and encircled the SUV to prevent it from getting away. The cops found themselves, I think, totally surrounded and unprepared. And there were students inside the cop line and on both sides of the cops, and they overreacted as police officers do, and they got out their sticks. One student got hit in the head with a baton. A couple others got dragged on the ground.
Do you know the names of any of these people?
I don't know the names of the people that were those hit with the baton. I probably shouldn't say other things.
Okay. how long did it last?
The whole incident was over in 10 minutes. But, I mean, the cops, there was certainly a couple minutes in there where the cops were, like, looking around and clearly didn't know what they were doing.
Uh-huh.
And were, like, looking to each other for guidance and shouting orders to each other. And it was, you know, it's always scary when cops are, like, when they lose control and they're, when they look scared.
Uh-huh.
So it was definitely one of those moments. I myself got pushed around a little bit, but, you know, nothing serious.
So, again, we've been talking with...
Jeb Perucker.
So we have a line of riot cops that are in front of a barn. We have a band here. We have people with arms linked all around the High and Bay Street intersection. And I mean all around. We're talking 500 or just 750 people linking arms, or maybe between 200 to 500, but everybody is linking arms. The sign, we have only one demand, an ongoing payment. Thank you. The graduate students would bring us out of rent burden to wage parity with grad students at UC Riverside, $14.12 per month.
It's a little harder to hear this than I thought. Let's listen to a little more before I give up on this one.
Yeah. You are so brave, and you're so proud, the right reason. Just give it up for yourself for a second.
And the pride and good feeling that was happening here had to do with the fact that the sidewalk was literally jammed with people who had earlier been seated, arms linked, one next to another, all around the four corners of the High and Bay Street intersection, and they were all seated, and this in the face of a massive number of police, although dwarfed by the number of students that were assembling nearby, right across from the barn, which was on the other side of the, I guess what would be Bay Street's continuation, whatever it's called when it goes onto campus, showing that they were not going to back down in spite of the attacks that took place the previous day, the day before, and in fact 17 students were later arrested when they stood firm or sat firm, whatever. I wasn't there for that particular incident. Let's hear a little more. Maybe it'll be a little more intelligible, and if not, I'll try to clarify what was going on.
Apples are also up. There's coffee, peanut butter, and different pastries. Register to vote table. Vote no on the recalls. Bernie, solidarity forever. And so forth. The t-shirts, which now are emblazoned with Solidarity Cola for All, UCSC Militancy. You just laid down a t-shirt yourself.
Yeah, I did. They've got like free screen printing happening over there. It's just, you can bring whatever fabric or shirts you want and get them screen printed.
That's great. How many shirts would you estimate, or I guess she would know, how many have been printed today?
She would for sure know. She's been here today. She's been here yesterday.
You're simply a customer, so to speak?
Yeah.
And a supporter of the strike.
Yeah.
So, any comments about what's going on? Is this your first strike action yourself?
No, it's probably the biggest one I've been involved with at UCSC. I'm the daughter of cops, so like I obviously have sympathy for everyone going on here, but honestly, I'm just a little, you know, like
nonplussed.
A little hand, yeah. You know, I'm like,
you're looking over at the line of police officers, which is, it is dwarfed by, of course, the line of people who are holding.
Yeah, someone's already made the comment that we wish we had the student to faculty ratio that we have the student to police ratio right now.
A huge number of police. But my point is, there's an even huger number of people peacefully holding arms linked around this area to barricade. And how long has the barricade been going on?
To my knowledge, it's been going on for a couple hours. It was up for several hours yesterday, too. But I had no problem getting off campus yesterday. Everyone's been super respectful. Like, I honestly feel like this is the most peacefully this could be conducted.
Do you think your father is a police officer?
Both my mother and father were.
Local or out of town?
Out of town.
Have you gone over to chat with the cops?
No, I probably won't.
You could have a sign. It would be a white flag. My father's a cop.
Yeah. I don't imagine there's a sense of them seeing us as their kids. You know what I mean? Like, they're not going to look at us and see their kids until, you know, their kids grow up and are us. You know what I mean?
I do. I mean, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
Were you here yesterday when any of the police action happened?
No, I wasn't.
But you're here today.
Yeah.
What brought you here today?
Funnily enough, it's my girlfriend's birthday, and all of our classes were canceled, and we just came out to support.
And you want to say who you are?
If it's okay, I wouldn't.
No, that's fine. This is going to be on the net. We have, this is for free radio. So.
Okay. Well, thank you for being here.
And thank you for giving us your count.
Yeah, no problem. Have a good
one. All right. 12:30. And the barricade is dispersed of its own accord, showing its own discipline. I'm counting the police. We're talking 10, 20, 30, 40, 50.
And by the barricade dispersing, I mean the students linked arms in the street have moved off to the side. As the police, I think, began a more aggressive... I'm not sure if it's a little hard to recall exactly the timing of these events. The students at one point did return when the police advanced on the area in order to reinstitute the barricade. But I think there is some understanding that they would back down if the police backed off. But perhaps that'll be made clear as this continues.
Maybe 70 police, but I would say there are hundreds of students here as well. So that's an interesting ratio. Of course, the police are heavily armed. And now they're taking off their helmets, and the students are applauding. So that's good. I believe those are UCSC police, yeah. And the students have cleared the area so vehicles can get through. I'm not sure what the next step is going to be. Maybe I can find out. Does anybody know what the next step is likely to be? I mean, did they say anything?
No idea. All I know is that they were going to
come in and greet the students.
If you kept blocking the street.
Is resuming, crossing High Street on the campus side. All right. And some students are going up to campus, but others are going back into the picket line. And many others are standing by in the corner where the tables for food and different kinds of petitioning and so forth are set up. And the sun is beating down at high noon. It's getting warmer. Hey, I'm with Free Radio. Any thoughts about this?
I think we spoke over the phone this morning.
And remind me of your name?
Carlos.
So it's about 12.
There's another clip probably shortly after the last one.
My number's at the bottom of that wire.
Right, yeah.
Any predictions about what would happen?
I don't know. I mean, I think it sounds like a letter in the union contract, so something that is enforceable, legally binding. So I think probably at this point, you know, any, like, just kind of unilateral kind of grant or like a COLA by administrative fiat is something that people will probably reject because they want enforceability. They want to know that it's going to be. Okay, I gotta go.
The police are coming now. They're walking to two different places. They're directing people who are sitting on the grassy area, which is directly between High Street and into the campus. Well, they're not draining, they're just standing there and kind of, they're moving a little closer into a police line, kind of spreading out a bit. We were talking with Jeff, who I think much of it didn't get recorded. My apologies to myself and everybody listening. But he said that there is currently negotiations going on, that they've been using a phony argument that there was a need to, they couldn't negotiate for, because of some part of the contract. And the latest demand is that we vacate, or that the students vacate the, here comes a large sheriff's van to cart people away. That is kind of, you know, making the rounds. And it's just parked on, I guess, yeah, it's called Bay Street on the other side, Coolidge on this side, Coolidge Drive. And then an activist is advising people to get onto the grass and back off the sidewalk and back off the bike lane of the street. And there's more negotiations going on here between police and one of the organizers that is not being recorded, unfortunately. I could go over there and do it. Yes, I will.
Focus.
We, Sergeant Cabrillo
had pulled back just now. I don't understand why you all fanned out the way you did.
I just don't want people in the intersection. I just want you guys to
be involved. They were okay.
That's all I want. Okay. Can we agree on
sure.
that? Because
I mean, I can't control what they're going to do.
C. Jackson and R. Falk are the other police officers here.
We don't have to intervene.
And we'll use the crosswalks, but I'll encourage folks to use them.
And if you guys can monitor your own crowd as a group and make that happen, I'd appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
My name is Brian Cabrales.
I'm Steven.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
So in case you want a recording, it's here.
Thank you.
They're lined up with their arms linked on the edge of the grass along Coolidge. We have the bike co-op, and UAW strike. And there's a video photographer on a tripod who's videoing, and lots of folks, of course, have their own video devices.
Drops off campus! Drops off campus! Drops off campus! Campus.
Like more police are joining the fray, although the fray right now amounts to police sprawled out across High Street on the road to the west entrance of the campus, lined across High Street. And then there's cops now blocking the Coolidge Avenue outgoing segment of the road. And more students are returning to join the protest from campus. Small groups, about 10 students.
Everyone on the sidewalk! Everyone on the sidewalk!
What did they say? Anything?
I got a Sharpie and I got a marker. It's this thing.
Hard to say.
Yeah,
it could be just a bluff. They do a lot of bluffing.
All right, before I just pass it on. All right, the first number is an immigration lawyer. Write it on your body, even if you don't need it, because somebody else will.
Yeah, thank you.
Goodbye.
Now, what's happening here is that an activist on a bullhorn is advising people to put phone numbers, write them on their arms in case they get arrested. And indeed, later that afternoon, as I said before, reportedly 17 people were arrested.
0830219 0832 0832.
And they're using the tactics of the Occupy movement.
So
shouting out what's being said so that everyone can hear it.
All right. 916.
916.
690.
690.
This was called Mic Check about a decade ago when it was done during the occupations of late 2011.
And this is a defense
one? Yes. It's criminal defense lawyer.
And the first one is what?
That was a migration lawyer.
Okay, go for it.
Yeah, just
Police
out of the streets is what they're now shouting.
Police out of the streets!
Police are backing off out of the streets. So apparently there was an order vacated the blockade, their blockade or their line along High Street and their blockade along Coolidge. And the streets are once more free of both police and demonstrators. It is now 10-1. Again, in sort of... They're lining up and sort of... Mic check is being shouted here.
Really close.
We need to use this energy in a productive way. Right now, they are in a meeting. All right, they're in a meeting right now to talk about.
In a meeting right now.
Thank you. Okay, they are in a meeting.
They are in a meeting.
Right now.
Right now.
And it is important.
And it is important.
Productive way.
We want to be safe.
We want to show solidarity. I say.
We back up and have a party.
What do we want?
Cola.
What do we want?
Cola.
When do we want it? Now. Got the gist. There's a beginning of. We're talking with. What's your name? For free radio.
You don't have to give your name. You don't want it.
Okay, I prefer not to. Is that
okay? Okay, so give me some thoughts about how long you've been involved with this.
So I'm an undergrad. I'm not a graduate student. So I've been following it since I guess they started withholding grades. That was the first time I heard that they were striking. And ever since then, I thought that was like, I'm allowed to swear, really like badass that they were doing that because it's a really, really. They're basically withholding the commodity that the school's selling. You know. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was amazing.
Marxist, are you?
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty. Yeah.
Dirty commie.
But I just love that. And then I was like, wow, they could really pick up like a lot of like leverage on this if they're really strategizing like that. And so I like, you know, emailed my, like, we're supposed to, as undergrad, like, email our professors and say we support it, we don't care about having our grades, like, whatever. And then when I heard they were striking today, I was like, or on Monday, I was like, yeah, of course I'm going to be down there. And this, I've been to, like, many UCSC strikes. This is the biggest one I've ever seen. So.
How many have you been to?
Probably around 6.
And how, over what period of time?
Well, I'm a transfer student, so, like, not super long, so I don't know about, like, the years prior, but I
last
probably,
couple of years?
Last, like, year and a half or so. So, yeah. Yeah.
Does it have much actual impact on student spirit and activity on campus?
Well, here's the thing is, like, I've talked to many different people. I have friends who are kind of, they don't say they're against a strike, but then they get mad because, like, they had to go to campus for a midterm and they're, like, booed getting on the bus. So I think that it is creating a little bit of tension and division, but I actually think that's good in a way because, like, I think that, like, controversy really creates a lot of, like, media attention and, like, that's what we need. And so, and also, like, students being angry, like, hopefully that anger will be directed towards the administration, not the strikers. But I think that, like, definitely just being here, it's like an amazing energy, you know.
Well, I see people are now marching up and down the crosswalks with the police retired to their kind of military groupings instead of partying, or maybe they're partying too. What do you make of that?
I think that, like, we were out in the streets before, and what's happening right now is some grad students are meeting with the administration. And so I don't know exactly who was directing people to go back on the lawn, but I think that, like, where I stand is, like, I'm not fully educated, aware of everything that's going on to, like, know, like, what decision is best right now. So I think I'm just kind of, like, following the grad students since they are, like, leading the strike and, like, saying, like, right now, like, we're going to strategize, get on the lawn. I mean, what happened earlier with the police is just ridiculous.
Tell me about that. Were you there for this?
Earlier today, not the one yesterday. I don't know if people were talking about that, but I know.
Whatever you're talking about.
They were, so yesterday, what happened was, I guess, like, someone got arrested, everyone, like, blockaded the police car, and then the police whipped out their batons and stampeded the crowd and started beating people, and I guess one person, I just heard, got a concussion, and I've been talking to people, and it's just so ridiculous how, like, nobody is going to be, like, held accountable for that, like, you know, because it's like, they're just like, oh, we can do this, so whatever.
Officer privilege, officer safety.
Oh, you're right, exactly, officer safety, and then it's just so sad because it's like, look at how much money they're spending on the amount of police here. It's insane. And also, like sometimes it's just like, they're keeping us safe. No, they're injuring us. Like, they're creating harm. And I know that's, like, stereotypical and not, like, a new insight, but...
Were you there for the incident yesterday?
No, I got there slightly after, but I was there. Also, a weird thing that happened yesterday is, like, when everyone was sitting in the middle circle in the intersection, like, the whole crowd was there. The police had left at this point because I don't know if they, like... needed to rush back because they realized they had beaten someone to the point of concussion. I'm not really sure why they left, but they left, so we had the whole intersection blocked, and the roads were blocked off, too.
By the police.
Yeah, by the police. And out of nowhere, I don't even know where it came from, this, like, I guess, like, old, like, white lady in a, like, nice white car just, like, I was sitting right next to it, comes and tries to run people over in the crowd. Like, literally just goes, bolts into the crowd. Like, from what I saw, of course, I kind of panicked and, like, was like, ah! And, like, ran. Not very heroic, I guess, instinctually. But, she, like, people, and the people were like, yeah, like, I saw people's, like, half of their legs were, like, under the car, and then people, like, leaders of the strike ran up to the car and said, you need to stop this right now, like, you're, like, you might kill someone, and, the car just accelerated.
Did anybody get the license number?
I'm sure that they did. I'm not sure because I honestly was, like, it was just so surreal to me. Like, I don't know where the car came from. I don't know how that person wasn't arrested for, like, trying to run over people.
You're doing this police a service.
Right, exactly. Which is funny because, like, someone earlier had gotten arrested for literally delivering water. It's like, why?
That's a disservice.
Right, exactly, yeah, you know. We should not be keeping our strikers hydrated.
Supporting these activists.
The what?
The activists.
I know. We're rebelling, and clearly this is creating a lot of harm. And I just think it's so funny, like, how geared up the police are. It's just, like, hilarious. Like, what do you think is going to happen? Like, look at the crowd. Look at this crowd. Like, it's all, like, hippies.
It's pretty menacing to me.
I know. Like, yeah. But yeah, it's, I just say, if you're listening to this right now, if the strike's still going on tomorrow, the next day, or whatever, please come. It's worth it, you know, like, it's gotten so much leverage, like, they really could make something happen, I believe, so, yeah.
Thank you.
Laura Tucker.
And Laura, you're here with myself and Gloria kind of checking out the situation as well as scamming on the free food.
Yes, it's beautiful and sunny up here.
What's your reaction to this? You never attended UCSD.
Yes, I did.
Oh, you did. How does it compare with your days here?
This is the first time I've been back on campus since 2016, right after Trump got elected and people were all freaked out up here. But I've never been to this kind of a situation, so I don't really know how to assess it, other than I counted how many police there are, and there's 60 plus more came, so I'm going to say 70. And then it seems like just kind of a cat and mouse kind of thing where they put on their gloves and helmets and take out their batons, and then the students get out of the street, and then they take off their helmets, and then the students right now, though, aren't really blocking traffic. It looks like they're just going...
Picketing
across the intersections. And so, I mean, I'm assuming this is probably going to go on for days, yeah?
I'm told that they are doing some negotiating elsewhere, and I guess the purpose is to encourage the university negotiators to get off the pot and actually make some real proposals that are, well, that grant the COLA.
So they have a list of demands, probably, yeah?
Yeah. Well, the primary demand is the $1,400 a month increase in the COLA.
Good. God, it's crazy. They just keep adding more students every year. More money, more students, more money, more students.
It takes money to make money, Laura. You gotta understand.
This is not supposed to be a money-making business. We need to be educating the populace.
What are you, some sort of traditionalist?
If that's a tradition, yeah. Yeah, it's good energy up here. It feels good. I like it.
It's getting warmer, that's for sure. We've been talking with...
Laura, again. Tucker.
Thanks, Laura.
Back east, they say he's leaving home every day, beating the hot old dusty way to the California line. Across the desert sands they roll, getting out of that old dust bowl. They think they're going to a sugar bowl, but here's what they find. Now the police at the port of entry say, you're number 14,000 for today. Oh, if you ain't got the do-re-mi, folks, you ain't got the do-re-mi, why, you better go back to beautiful Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, Georgia, Tennessee. California is a Garden of Eden, a paradise to live in or see. But believe it or not, you won't find it so hot if you ain't got the do-re-mi. Farm that can't deal nobody harm, or take your vacation by the mountains or sea. Don't swap your old cow for a car, you better stay right where you are. You better take this little tip from me, 'cause I look through the want ads every day, but the headlines on the papers always say, if you ain't got the do-re-mi, boys, you ain't got the do-re-mi, why, you better go back to beautiful Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, Georgia, Tennessee. California is a Garden of Eden, a paradise to live in or see. But believe it or not, you won't find it so hot if you ain't got the do-re-mi.
That was another from the Ash recordings of Woody Guthrie. You probably can find those at www.woodyguthrie.com if you want to listen to more of his stuff. And you may hear a little bit more on this show, possible. Days ago, actually it was last Tuesday, I left my audio recorder in the city council chambers, and by the time I got back, the police officer, Sergeant Jones, he said his name was when I talked to him later on the phone, he said he'd look for me for 15 minutes, although I only was only gone about five, I guess, different time senses. And couldn't find me, so he put the machine in lockup, promised to call me back, but never did. Anyway, I found it the next day, went to pick it up at property, which you can only do 4 hours on Thursday and 2 hours on Tuesday. So good luck if you lose your sleeping bag or your survival gear, as the people at the Washington Street Cooper encampment did. Disabled people, blind people, elderly people, at least one of them was, because you can't get your property back, even though they have a nice big fancy building there and lots of police officers, but one wonders why they make it so difficult, and then one sort of cynically concludes it's, if not intentional, they're certainly ignoring the pain that it causes. Anyway, it didn't cause me much pain because I got a place to go to. But as I waited for as I walked up to the property area, which they won't come and give you the property, you have to walk all the way around the police building if you're on foot. And as I walked up, I ran into another guy picking up his property, and we had kind of a spirited conversation. You may be offended by his use of words, like the word nigger, which he used frequently. But I let people use whatever language they choose to use, and so this is what he said.
So it's February 13th and around 12:45, and I'm talking with...
David.
David, you're here, as I am, and some other folks are at the property retrieval, mm-hmm. trying to get some property back. You were describing to me how this happened, that you had to come around here.
Yeah, so the other night I was downtown, you know, I went to go visit a friend after I worked out over at Power Fitness, which shunned me out like an animal. Anyways, went downtown, and I had a soda. I went to go see a buddy of mine downtown, and then three niggers. You know what? They're the ones that stole my stuff. I call it how it is. It's that one word they don't want to hear, but guess what, man? Hey, I called it to them, and each one of them ran away. And you know what?
What stuff did they steal?
They stole my music. They stole my white charger that I had that was what charged my phone. You know, that the white charger was the one that was first. You know what I'm saying? And then the black one came, so it can kind of entwine with the white one. So you have to sit there and think about it. You know, so they tried to get me drunk that day. They put some kind of alcohol or something in my drink, and each one of them tried to punch me.
Now, were these folks that you had previously met before? Or?
I have. You know what? One of them looked very familiar. I think his name was Matt Stokely. That's the guy. He looked really familiar. He comes from Barbados. I think his family comes from Barbados. So he's half black, half white, I think, but I don't know. He used to be able to kind of to hang out with like the hardcore black dudes, but I think they shun that guy now because he's a wimp, and he tried to step up to me, but I challenged him and his friends, and he still had the police behind him trying to mace me, and they took me to jail.
Now describe, how did they initially get your stuff? I mean, was it snatched? Were you just sitting with them talking? What happened?
No, so I was just putting my bag down, and then one of them approached me and threw, like, gang signs at me. And I'm like, yeah, I'm from Watsonville, man. You know, I'm from Clifford right there. I grew up there, man. I'm not a gangbanger, but I'm from Clifford, you know, and I'm about my people. You know, my daughter's half white. You understand? I'm Spanish, Aztec, wind talkers, whatever you want to call it. You know, each one of them came at me, man, like trying to like shoot me or something, you know, or hit me or put nails in my feet, you know. So I took off my belt and I told them, I called them N-word, nigger, nigger, all of them, nigger, 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 you know. And I took them back to the old days. I took them back to the whipping. But guess what? Now they understand. So you know what? Jesus Christ was white, man. Let me tell you that. Jesus Christ was a white man, blue eyes, whatever. They had to hide him. Where he kind of, I think there was a mistake there, is when he started telling some of these black people that he was son of him, you know.
Let me interrupt you for
yes.
a minute, because you want to get your stuff.
Yes.
So let's make sure you
yeah.
ask for it.
You understand?
Are you asking for it right now?
I already did, yes.
Okay, so let me ask for my stuff, and
yes.
we'll continue this if you feel like
Absolutely.
It. Absolutely. Hang on.
You tell me, brother.
How soon did it take the police to show up, and why did they show, and what was going on?
So they showed up after each one of those guys challenged me, and I'm the one that said, I'm calling 911. I said, you guys are, one of them punched me. Mm-hmm. My cheek's still kind of sore from it. This was like...
You're pointing to your left cheek.
Yeah, yeah, still kind of sore, but mm-hmm. it got better, though. It got better, you know, because I know my...
How long ago was this?
This was like a week ago, like 7 days ago.
And where was this?
Downtown, the metro right there. Mm-hmm. Downtown, the metro right there, where they hang out right there and...
Right back. You were saying...
So, let's see here. Three guys, downtown, wherever there's one, they somehow know how to make a whistle or something, and then like two or three more can come out anywhere. Okay? So, I was down and I felt cold. So anytime like you feel cold, you know, just look around. That's how I felt. That's when I saw him come at me when I felt cold. When you shiver, that means something ain't right. That's what something told me. You understand? So I knew something wasn't right. So I went like this. I never put my hands on him. They were trying to attack me. I took off my belt because I heard one of them was a homosexual or something like that. That dude, Matt, I heard he was gay or something. I don't know. So I'm like, see, I got boxers on, man. And I'm I ain't gay like you, I told him, man. And then the security guard was trying to spray me.
And this was in the metro.
Yeah. It was like if they were all scared of me. And it was 4-1.
What time of day?
This was like around 9. It was around 9 o'clock.
Evening or morning?
Evening. It was evening. It was dark and you know, it was a lot of commotion. And I was drunk with anger. You know, I felt like they stole from me. And then I thought, so I get arrested. They let them go. Okay. Three guys against one.
How many police officers were involved?
Well, there was about 2, 3, 4. I can't remember. They were being peaceful, but then they went and talked to one of the black guys, and all of a sudden they arrested me. They took me in, separated me from my stuff, you know, and they kicked me out like I don't know what time, you know. This lady CO in there was giving me a hard time. I don't know if you ever heard of the lady Bonnie. She works there.
Some hours later.
Yes, and then she finally somehow wanted me out of there. I think she couldn't stand the sight of me. I guess I disgusted her or something, you know.
This was in the jail.
This was in the jail. This lady that opens gates there for people there and stuff.
You were in a lone cell or in with a bunch of other folks?
I was in there with one more gentleman. Mm-hmm. I think he was hanging out with some black guys before, and they got him all drunk. And he got up and he called me a wetback, and I pushed him, and he fell and he hit himself in a black pool, and he hurt his back, but he got up. He started laughing after a while. He was good, but he was really drunk. He didn't know what he was doing, you know, but the next day, you know, when I got released, I went to court and I saw some really good friends of mine, some of the Woods that, you know, that were riding with us in there. And they, you know what, they said everything was good because they said they saw who was getting them drunk right there. There's some old black dude in there in county jail that I guess he tells people to like start spiking people's drinks and stuff. It's real. People go around spiking your drink so you can act like an idiot, and then people come around at night and steal.
You previously have been drinking yourself?
No, that night, no, I wasn't drinking.
So your drink wasn't spiked that night?
No, well, it was a soda. I thought it was a soda.
Oh, I see. Where did you have the soda?
Oh, at there by, like, the Catalyst.
Like you bought the soda?
No, I bought it from the store right there from across the street, and I was talking to my buddy Ricky. He knows me. He's from Watsonville. I used to coach with him in baseball and stuff like that, and yeah, after that, I left. I saw some other guy from town.
Looks like your stuff is coming.
All right.
Again, we've been talking with
David Vasquez, sir.
So it's...
and that was David's account. Never met him before that I remember. And if we'd have more time, I wanted to talk to him about, frankly, about different gangs in Santa Cruz and Watsonville, because those are... I kind of... inferred that he was with some of those folks, and that it might be useful to get some kind of information about their experiences. And that was the purpose of that conversation that you just heard. And here's a final follow-up to the UCSC protest. This again is Robin and Leonard, two activists that I'd spoken with, I believe it was on Monday or Tuesday, and I spoke to them again on... I guess it was Valentine's Day, the 14th, talking about sort of the aftermath of the protest and what happened on some of the later days in the week, particularly on Tuesday, when there were 17 people arrested.
Well, today is February 14th, and it's around 4 o'clock, and I'm talking with... Who am I talking with?
Robin.
And just what are you two up to, and what's the news from campus?
So today a lot of there was an assembly for undergrads to make their own list of demands for a cost of living adjustment, and amongst other things, such as protections for undocumented students, decreasing the presence of ICE completely, actually, from campus. We put up grad students marched with undergrads from Quarry Plaza to Kerr Hall, to paper Kerr Hall with the list of demands and other things like that. And then grad students and undergrads marched from Kerr Hall all the way down back to the basic campus, and we blocked traffic up there for a good, 30, 45 minutes?
Maybe an hour.
Maybe an hour.
Yeah, maybe an hour.
What was the police presence like?
One more time, sorry.
What was the police presence like?
We had some police following us at the back, and I think we had some folks at the front as well, yeah?
Yeah, some, but I would say very minimal.
Yeah, it wasn't massive police presence. Not like earlier this week.
Unlike Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday?
True, yeah.
Now, you mentioned the presence of ICE on campus. What is the current status of ICE on campus?
I think it's something that, from my knowledge, is something that the university, quote-unquote, condemns, yet there still seems to be present. There still seems to be a presence. I think, having gone to a couple of protests for undocumented students, I think they seem to be directing their anger a lot at, I'm forgetting the name of the office, but the guy's name is Pablo Garin. I can't remember exactly what the name is, but if you just search like Pablo and then G-U-E-R-I-N and UCSC, you'll be able to find like what position he has on campus. But they've been really upset with him. And I think he's one of the... He's one of the kind of like middle contacts or resources for undocumented folks.
What's the nature of their dissatisfaction, do you know?
With ICE or just in general with the university?
Well, with this guy, with the university, and or with ICE. Would any of those three?
So Pablo, they feel like he's been kind of resting on his expensive salary and not helping students at all. Not helping undocumented students at all, because I think he's supposed to be like a liaison for undocumented students. I think he fell victim to the trap of he's a person of color, so the university says, "Oh, we'll appoint a person of color to do the job, just for just to show faith," as bureaucratic hesitation often does. And they feel like he hasn't done the job. They occupied his office, I believe, maybe a week or two ago, something like that. A group of undocumented students and other folks in solidarity. With the university, they just feel like, their main kind of grievance is the presence of ICE on campus, really.
Mm-hmm. What are the numbers today compared with, let's say, on earlier days?
Like just turnout for the basic campus?
Uh-huh.
I would say...
Yeah, it's the smallest it's been for sure, but we still have a lot of folks out here supporting, so...
Mm-hmm. And how did things go with the Quarry Assembly?
Cool, there was a ton of undergrad support. I wouldn't say the Quarry was fully packed to capacity, but there was a ton of people. And I also want to add something. I think the low numbers have a lot to do with the fact that it's a three-day weekend and there are folks going out of town, just trying to get a vacation. But I think come the weekday, people will be ready to go again.
How are things going with the administration negotiations, if they're going at all?
Yesterday, I believe somebody, it might have been LaReeve or someone from LaReeve's office, I think offered an opportunity to either negotiate or put an offer out there if we pause the strike. And that was voted down by a vast, vast, vast majority of graduate students at the Graduate Assembly.
Mm-hmm. What's the status, Robin, of the people arrested? How are they doing?
At this point, I believe they have released person who didn't want to be identified, but I do know that somebody within our sociology department was pretty brutally attacked. He was one of the folks who was sitting and linking arms in the protest that was happening in the middle of the street, and I know that his face was scraped on the pavement, his head was hit with a baton, and he had to go to urgent care. So we're definitely still shaken from that.
Were you a witness to this assault?
No, they actually kept it very, very under wraps, even though we were close. Only folks who were right there could really see what was happening.
Any video of this?
We have some video footage of folks getting arrested, but I'm not sure that we have any video of the assault itself.
Mm-hmm. And so we've actually mentioned Rochelle's name in previous broadcasts, so
yeah.
How's she doing?
I'm not sure. Leonard, do you have
I'm not really sure, but I have something to add about some of the people arrested. I saw one other person. I don't want to identify them because I'm not sure.
No, that's fine.
But I know they're a classmate of mine, and they were supposedly suspended from campus, but, you know, in protest, they're kind of still showing up, and it doesn't seem like there's any action against that.
Have many people been suspended from campus?
Everyone who got arrested was also suspended, so I believe that's 17 people.
Some of them have continued to show up at the protests?
It appears that some folks are doing that in protest.
Huh.
Yeah.
And is there any kind of training continuing? I know when I was up there on Monday or Tuesday, there was, I think, quite appropriately, training on how to deal with police. Folks were writing phone numbers on their arms. People with bullhorns were giving out suggestions as to what should be done. Is there a continuing plan for, continued sort of classes on the green or forums or training sessions on how to deal with the situation? Or do people feel that's being taken care of? Or what's cooking with that?
You know, at this point, since we're sort of winding down for the week, we don't necessarily have the agenda set. I believe that something like that, some more training, would be helpful for sure. And I'm sure that's something that the organizers are thinking about.
Mm-hmm. And if people want to get more information on what's going on, I notice there hasn't been much on Facebook under COLA for All Santa Cruz, at least not from yesterday. Where should people go, would you suggest, to get that kind of information?
I would say either Instagram or Twitter would be your best bet.
Okay, and where should you look to find that? You're dealing with someone who knows absolutely nothing about Instagram and Twitter, but people who are listening may know, so...
Yeah, so there are two main groups. I can speak for Instagram at least. One of them is COLA for All. Instead of FOR, it's the number 4.
Mm-hmm.
So COLA for All, no spaces. And then there's also a group called Pay Us More UCSD. And they tend to broadcast live during the day, especially when things are escalating.
Name the group again. Could you, Robin? Sorry. Name the group again.
Yeah, the second group or the first one?
The second one.
Yeah, that's Pay Us More UCSD.
Thank you. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I believe we have it on YouTube as well. Leonard right now is looking for the name of the YouTube channel.
That would be helpful. At least I'd know where to go. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there's no specific events that you know of that are coming up that have a particular time and place for the next week?
Not as far as we know, but I do know that there is the possibility of some organizers meeting with administration this weekend. We still, as far as I know, haven't heard back from them regarding that. So I think, you know, just like every other day out here, we're playing it by ear and, you know, figuring out as we go.
Mm-hmm. So what have you learned over the course of the last 4 days that's most struck you, Robin?
I've learned that people care. You know, we're all here to show up for each other and here to support each other, and I think that's, for me, one of the biggest takeaways from this, that we have this really gorgeous community of folks who really do, you know, who really are invested in not only the survival, but, you know, the happiness of the people around them and everything like that. I think that's been a really, really huge outcome for a lot of folks here.
And what do you say, Leonard? Any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've shown kind of what we're capable of, closing off main intersection in the street. Administration went from absolutely even refusing the possibility of meeting with us to even entertaining ideas and pulling organizers out to meet. So it's shown we're pretty capable. I've seen the turnout, you know, start from a little bit of people to a lot of people, so more to Robin's point as well, that people actually care. Undergrads are well-informed and willing to put their body on the line, so this has become an even, I think, bigger campus movement.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is something that, as well, this momentum that we can work off of to, you know, work on behalf of the needs of a lot more folks than just the graduate students.
Hmm. Some people from town, I was one of them, we tried to come up yesterday and found that it wasn't that the area was blocked off, but that there was no clear place to park. Do you have any suggestions for folks who are coming from town who want to, you know, park and then join the demonstration?
So, I've been parking in a residential area, in some of the residential areas by campus. It seems like in terms of blocking off the street, you should be good if you get here maybe before at the latest, like the late 10 o'clock hour. Because these things seem to start at around 11:30 or 12, something like that.
Was the street blocked yesterday?
Yeah, it was blocked. There was a thing that we were doing where...
No, I mean, did the police block their segment of the street?
Was there a police block?
Right.
Yeah, there was a police block because the strategy was instead of, unlike Wednesday, we would block the intersection, get off, get back on until they completely decided to block it off.
Mm-hmm. So they did decide to block, because when we were up there around 11, the police weren't around as far as blocking off the intersection, but there was just nowhere to park except for a lot of no parking zones, and the meter maid was busy giving people tickets and so forth. So.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think that kind of shows the... I mean, there's a lot of, like, two-hour parking-only zones around here. I think that kind of shows... that's another illustration of the university's lack of accessibility. You know, if we can go back really quick to the question of what we learned...
Yeah, go for it.
So specifically for today, something that we learned was, you know, in marching from Kerr Hall back down to campus, this is just an extremely shitty campus accessibility-wise for non-able-bodied folks. It's probably having attended three other universities prior to doing this PhD program. This is by far the worst campus I've ever seen for non-able-bodied folks.
What campuses were you on, Leonard?
University of Southern California, University of California, Irvine, and Arizona State.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the campus was one of the most recent one of the last campuses to be developed. I'm not sure actually about that, but I think it was intentionally designed to, you know, not allow for big meeting places and so forth.
Oh yeah, well, especially for Kerr Hall. I mean, it's in the middle of nowhere. I'm sure there's a lot of people who've never even been to Kerr Hall because it's just so hidden. When people ask where it is, it's kind of hard to explain.
And the significance of Kerr Hall is?
That's the administration building. They spend millions of dollars on it. It looks kind of like something out of Star Wars. Very menacing, prison-like, concrete prison. They spent a couple million on safe rooms in case the admins feel uncomfortable. You know, apparently they feel uncomfortable with even students sneezing. I don't know. Not sure what the purposes of those safe rooms are for, what kind of, or how smart it is to spend millions of dollars on those safe rooms, but
Yeah, that's Kerr Hall, and it's named after. So Kerr was I think his name is Clark Kerr. He was the president of the University of California system during the 60s, during all the kind of student power movements back then.
I remember him, yeah. I mean, I don't remember him personally, but yeah, he was a notorious sort of liberal in language and repressive in behavior, you know.
Yes,
exactly. That legacy definitely lives on.
So, one of my interests is, because I was mentioning to you earlier when you first reached me, was I'm interested in civil rights for homeless folks and connections with homeless students like Snail. Did many folks show up who you know of or you think were homeless on campus?
So, it's interesting you asked that because in reference to the, we were making reference earlier to the Forey Plaza, to the Forey Plaza undergraduate meeting, where we marched from Forey to Kerr Hall, and on their list of demands was to support Snail, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So that was there. As far as explicit attendance, we got there a little. So grad students arrived a little later to the undergraduate assembly. So we're not sure if anyone from Snail spoke. But, you know, the highlighting of kind of economic struggles, I believe it was Thursday, they had a stripper pole out here, and two graduate students who were performing dances, pole dancing to make a statement, and there was a sign that said, I'm going to paraphrase it because I don't quite remember it, but, you know, about how they had to, despite getting a Chancellor's Award, they still had to work as a stripper just to get through school.
Robin, is there much stratification between graduates and undergraduates? I mean, is there sort of a barrier in terms of sense of entitlement or, you know, upper class, lower class, that sort of thing?
That's a great question. I mean, that's something that I'm definitely not qualified to answer, given that I don't know everybody who's here. But it appears to me to be a space that's very mixed. That folks are getting to know each other. I know that we've made a lot of connections out here. I've met a lot of folks from the area who we didn't previously know. And it does look like, even though folks are, you know, bunched together with people they know, that there is a lot of mingling and a lot of contact between grads and undergrads and the feeling of solidarity.
Mm-hmm. I could go on, but I'm getting a little tired, so I probably won't. But is there more you guys want to say?
As far as your last question, just to add to what Robin said, there was a lot of, you asked about stratification, right, between grads and undergrads. So, like, there was a lot of privileged white undergrads who were getting arrested by the cops on Wednesday. You know, the day we would say was like the peak of kind of direct confrontational action. So a lot of undergrads kind of put it on the line out there. A lot of them, I don't know if a lot of them quite necessarily so knew what they were getting into, but the fact that they even rushed to kind of put themselves on the line, I think, is a powerful statement as to how united the undergrad population is with the grads. And the undergrads are making their own kind of COLA movement as well, which we're more than willing to support.
Any movement from the unions to actually support this, or are they still holding back?
To be honest with you, I am not quite sure. I think we're still kind of in the phases of a wildcat strike. I don't know. I think because of legal ramifications, I think they're still trying to kind of navigate that. But we can keep you updated on that.
Yeah, I'd be interested. Anything else?
I think that covers a lot of what we've been doing here.
Okay. I don't know if I have your phone number. Do you want to give it to me? I'll go off mic here. Hang on just a second.